From your community, every morning on WKOK Sunrise, on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
He's on the cover of Fabulosity magazine, Mr. Rob Center, our great producer, doing a fabulous job every day, making sure that podcasts are up and running shortly after interviews are conducted. Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, you name it. He takes great care of it, and he'll do that this morning right before 8 a.m. In the studio with us now, Dr. Todd Steffen is back. He's a heart and vascular surgeon and specialist at the Heart and Vascular Center of Evangelical Community Hospital. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. I just think this is a fascinating topic, this idea of studying and working on and healing veins and arteries, right?
Yes. Well, as a vascular surgeon, we take care of the arteries and veins of the body. And really, it's the outside of the heart cavity and outside of intracranial. All the arteries and veins are essentially ours. And it's a, you know, it's a diverse field. It's a dynamic field. And that's kind of what drew it to me, drew me to the field. So there's always something different. There's always something changing, and there is always something, you know, every day is different. You're not doing the same thing every day. One day, you may be fixing somebody's aortic aneurysm. Another day, you'll be fixing their carotids. And then another day, you'll be working on somebody's veins. So it provides, it's an interesting field, and it provides a lot of diversity.
And all of these surgeries and all of this work, a stent is considered a surgery?
It's a procedure, surgery. Yes. Yes.
Okay, a procedure. Okay, so all of this is really life threatening if it's untouched, and it's delicate surgery / procedure when you do it.
Yes, I mean, that's very true. I mean, vascular disease is pervasive. Cardiac disease is the number one cause of death. Stroke is number five. But beyond that, the damage that it does to people in terms of disability is huge. I mean, that's something that's not often talked about. I mean, you know, they talk about stroke in terms of death, but what about the stroke that doesn't die? What about the recovery from that? The arterial disease of the limbs that causes amputation. Our goal is to help treat that and avoid that. And that is, and with a lot of what we do, we also have an aging population. And as our bodies age, the arteries age, and very often will need to be treated. When I have a patient come into my office, a lot of people don't understand what a vascular surgeon does. And so to simplify it, I'll say to them, I'm kind of a human plumber.
It's all PEX. You know, PEX is the plastic pipe they use now instead of rigid copper.
Right.
You're the PEX guy.
Well, kind of. I mean, you know, there are different ways that you can treat arteries and veins or treat vascular disease. I use that analogy because people understand it. Your arteries and veins are pipes, all right? Arteries take the blood away from the heart. Veins help get the blood back to the heart. And so you will try to do what you can to keep them open. Now, just like pipes in your house, those pipes can clog. And that's atherosclerosis, where they're clogging throughout your lifetime. Sometimes they can rust. And the analogy I use for that is an aneurysm, where an aneurysm is a weakness of your artery, which over time can rupture. And a pipe can rupture. And that can be life-threatening. And so these are things that we work on and try to treat.
Now, is it possible people have a leak in their veins, but it just drips instead of makes a big aneurysm? Or
yes. Okay. Well, see, when you're talking vascular disease, you almost have to separate arteries and veins. Because the processes of injury, damage, or how they affect people is very different. Okay. Arteries, when they clog, they can kill people. I mean, whether it's a stroke or heart attack or limb loss, something bad really happens when those occlude. Or if they rupture, people die. With venous disease, that's an underappreciated problem that causes a lot of pain and discomfort. But for chronic venous we call it insufficiency. That really doesn't kill people. Now, a venous blood clot, can be a pulmonary embolus, and that can kill people, and that's very serious. And that is generally treated with anticoagulation. Sometimes in severe cases, we may put a filter in the vein to prevent a blood clot from going to the lungs. But for varicose veins and venous problems, those generally are not life-threatening, but they're quality of life-threatening. You will have people with large, ropey varicose veins, and they have significant pain, and it interferes with their ability to live, to walk, to work. Some of these people may get sores or ulcers on their legs, and caring for those sores and ulcers can be challenging. And so part of that is taking care of the venous problems. And so, you know, with venous disease, the blood is coming back to the heart. And the way the blood gets back to the heart is there are these one-way valves in the veins. And they open and close. And with your muscle pumps of your calves and your legs, that pumps it. And so it helps it to go back. And then the valves close and prevent it from what we call reflux, or going back into the leg. There are hundreds of valves in your legs. And what happens is these valves break down. Now, why they break down, it can be many reasons. Age, gravity, genetics. Maybe you had an old blood clot that damaged them. But as they break down, that causes the blood to reflux or go back into the leg. And then that causes swelling. It can cause ulcers. It can cause discoloration and pain. Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't kill anybody, but it can make people miserable. And so taking care of that just helps people's quality of life.
We're talking about the intricacies of the vascular system and vascular disease with a guy who knows, Dr. Todd Steffen, up at Evangelical Community Hospital. Lots of folks know him. If you ever had to have a varicose vein in your leg treated, you know that this is the guy to go to. Heart and Vascular Center of Evangelical holding a panel discussion coming up on vascular disease. So that'll be an opportunity to get into this kinds of things. He'll be there with Dr. Ben Kaiser and Rachel Carr, who's one of the super PAs up there. So I think you're going to get a lot of answers and so on. How life-limiting is a vascular disease? I know that must be like saying, well, you know, what is an automobile? Well, you know, it could be almost anything. But a vascular disease, describe that. You know, you already alluded to some versions of vascular disease.
Well, it depends on where it's affecting. Okay, we'll kind of refocus and go to the carotid arteries. Okay, the carotid arteries deliver blood to your brain. Okay, and if you have a blockage in those arteries, that is a leading cause of stroke. Now, strokes, as I've said, are the fifth leading cause of death. But in terms of, and we use the word morbidity. Morbidity is the fancy word for disability. You know, the disability, the people who can't live their lives. One of the things about vascular surgery that, yes, it's life-threatening, but it's quality of life-threatening. If you have a stroke, you're not that same person you were before the stroke. You could have a disability. Trying to use a limb or walk or function again can be very challenging, and we try to help prevent that. Now, we're not, you know, you can't prevent everything, and there is risks with doing these procedures, but you try to balance that with the risk of not doing the procedure. And so your carotid artery, as it fills up with plaque and even sometimes clot, what happens is little pieces of that will break off and go up to the brain and cause a stroke. So what you can do about that is if you identify the person and they have a significant blockage or that blockage is symptomatic, they may be a candidate for a carotid surgery. Now, we talked earlier before about advances in vascular surgery, and you know, right now there's an advance in carotid surgery. The way we've treated it for 40 years has been a carotid endarterectomy, and that's a very good, durable procedure. And it's not, and we've even been able to minimize a little bit. Like a lot of times we'll use local anesthesia with sedation, so you don't have to be completely asleep. And but it's an incision in the neck. We clean out the artery. There are special things we do to protect the brain, and we go from there. Usually the patients are in overnight, or 1 to 2 days. The advance that's come is a carotid stent. Now, what you can do is, you can make a small incision and place a stent in the carotid artery. Now, the way we do it, what you worry about when you're having wires across a plaque or a stenosis, that little pieces of plaque can break off when you're putting your wire in. Mm-hmm. And the advance that came is that when we're doing that, we actually reverse the blood flow out of the artery, and we put it through a filter, and we put it back into the vein. And so we can not worry so much about pieces of plaque breaking off when we're working on it.
How does your brain get blood while
the brain is very good about that. That's a good question, but there are four arteries that supply blood to the brain. And there are the carotid arteries in the front and the vertebrals in the back. And they meet up at the base of the brain called the circle of Willis. And so if the key of that is the time to place that stent is fairly quick and short. So while you're in reversal flow, it's not a long time, but you're also monitoring the brain for signs of that it's getting adequate blood flow. And that's part of the beauty of the new technique, is it has not been a problem.
Okay, I have to pause you there. When we come back, we're going to pick up at carotid stents. Believe it, we just shot through 10 minutes, so this is just crazy speed time now we're doing. But, yeah, we're talking to Dr. Todd Steffen. Let me just one quick 10-second answer. What do you think of when you think of people boxing and playing collision sports, just beating the heck out of these veins and arteries?
Well, veins and arteries are fairly durable.
Okay.
And so it's rare to have an injury from those types of things in your veins and arteries.
Oh.
With severe, you know, car accidents and things like that, you can get what's called a dissection or an injury to an artery, and that can be life-threatening, and it can be a challenge to fix. But with those types of things, it's rare to have a major artery thing. It's not, well,
they're tough.
Yeah, they are tough. And the it's not the same, you know, the injury to the brain and the concussions are really the focal point, the problem with those types of sports.
All right. We're going to come back with Dr. Todd Steffen with more silly questions that just pop into my head. So you're going to expect more soon, 7:40 a.m. From the Heart and Vascular Center of Evangelical. And he's going to be one of the panelists upcoming at a talk with a doc session April 12th, 6 p.m. at the conference rooms at the main entrance to the hospital with Dr. Ben Kaiser and Rachel Carr, one of the great PAs up there. And we'll even continue this conversation there, but we'll be back at 7:40.
Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Okay, we got two former anglers here talking today about trout fishing. No, we're not going trout fishing this weekend. So, all right, Dr. Todd Steffen is here, Heart and Vascular Center at Evangelical Community Hospital. He's going to be one of the keystones on a panel coming up at the Talk with the Doc session April 12th, Wednesday, 6 p.m. up at the conference rooms. These events have always been so fascinating. Dr. Todd Steffen, vascular surgeon. Ben Kaiser, who's a DO, and Rachel Carr, who's a PA. And they are just going to be talking about everything that relates to vascular health, vascular disease, prevention, what services are up at Evan, and so on and so on and so on. All right. When we last spoke, we were talking about, the disease was the question, and then you were telling specifically about fixing carotid arteries with stents and filters, doing that. Explain how in the world that works.
Well, all right. So with carotid stents, you put them there into the carotid arteries, and then they open blood flow to the brain, and they help to prevent stroke. The way that we do that, when you're placing the stent or you're crossing the blockage, you reverse the blood flow, and that's how you prevent little pieces of plaque to go up from going up to the brain. And then that blood gets filtered and then sent back into your veins. We create an outside circuit where it comes out and then goes back in. And it is a fantastic advance in the treatment of carotid disease. Not everybody is appropriate. We kind of have to evaluate it, but it has been a very interesting, it's just how many things advance. You know, there's an advancement, it's evaluated, and then challenged against what was there before, and then over time everybody kind of agrees, all right, this could be better, there's application for this, and we move on. That's what happened with carotid surgery, and it happens with other parts of surgery. With abdominal aortic aneurysms, for years that was a huge undertaking. You'd open the person almost stem to stern, you move all the insides to one side, and then you would have to replace a section of aorta, like replacing a pipe.
And now, working quickly all the while, right?
Yeah, it is time sensitive. Now, what you can do is you go in remotely through the groin, and you're able to put a new piece of pipe into where the damaged pipe is, and you release it. You actually release it, and it replaces it from the inside without the huge operation. And so those types of things have taken vascular surgery, and the goal is you've made it less invasive. You've made it less invasive. And that's a lot of where surgery has gone and advancements have gone. And how do you make it safer for the patient? How do you make their recovery better? How do you get them back to normal? When you were doing some of these big operations, I would have patients in the office and say, you know, it's going to be really 3 months before you feel like you feel today. Now those conversations are very much different. You're rare to have that 3 month conversation. With these, it's days and weeks. And my partner and I, we consider ourselves endovascular surgeons first, where we're looking at patients from the perspective of, all right, how do we take care of this in a less invasive fashion to get people back to functionality, but also do what they need? And so that's where even stents in the legs for blockages of the legs or treatments of the leg arteries or different arteries with stents or there's a new procedure called shockwave, which we're using, where arteries, when they have blockages, there'll be calcium and calcium deposits in these blockages in the walls of the artery. Now, that discussion is a long discussion, but suffice it to say that plaque has many different components. It can be almost fatty. It can be some blood clot. And then also you get calcium deposits in these plaque that almost, your normal arteries are very supple. They're soft. Like you asked a question about injuries. It's actually hard to injure an artery because it's soft. Well, as they get older and they age, they get hard plaque within them, and they become really like lead pipes. And so these lead pipes get stenoses in them, and what you can do is put a balloon into that, and you pulse shockwave, and they're much like a urologist does when he's breaking up a kidney stone. And so these sound waves, they break up the plaque and they let you open the artery easier. Because what you would have to do when you balloon them, you'd have to break the plaque. Now what you do is you use shock wave, and that has allowed us to open plaque better and safer than we had in the past. Also, it lets us use less stents. In some of your leg arteries, if we can not use a stent, sometimes that can be better and more durable. And so that's the advancement of vascular surgery. There's always something new around the corner, and you're trying to always figure out, all right, is this new development actually good? Is it saving us people? Is it helping the patient in terms of durability, and is it safer? And, you know, many times an example of aortic stents, the carotid stenting is more new, but it really looks promising. In the legs, some of the newer things that we're doing, such as the shockwave and things like that, are new, but they're really promising in terms of patient outcomes.
What are some other services at EVAN? Now, you've described stents and shocking and surgery and proline, which is the stitch material you use for the stitches, and a half a dozen other things so far. What are some of the services at the Vascular Center?
Well, at the Heart and Vascular Center, we're able to take care of arteries and veins in the body. And so as a vascular surgeon, my job, as I said, it's outside of the heart proper and outside of intracranially. But and we take care of those arteries and veins, and we can do we can do a wide breadth of procedures and care. If there's, you know, all our partners who are cardiologists, they focus more on the heart, and they can do interventions on the heart, cardiac catheterization and stent procedures. So we developed the Heart and Vascular to care for patients in this area and in the valley that need this care without sending them to a larger medical center or away, so that they can get their care at home, and but also do a quality job. Also, take care of them the way that they need to be taken care of, and that's what we've done, and that's been why the Heart and Vascular Center has been developed.
If I don't wish to meet you, how do I avoid that, other than in the studio here?
That is a key question. We were talking earlier about aging. Arterial disease is how arteries age. I tell my patients that your joints age by arthritis. Your arteries age by atherosclerosis. It's how you age. And different people age differently based upon genetics or how they do and risk factors. Now, probably the biggest risk factor for vascular disease is going to be smoking. The bigger risk factor, smoking, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. You know, then you get into your genetics. Smoking is just far above and beyond for vascular disease. If you're a patient and you're a smoker and you cross the threshold of a vascular surgeon, okay, because you have disease, you know, your life expectancy over the next 5 years is less than 50%. And the reasons for that are the devastating effects of smoking. And one of the things we talked about earlier was, or before the show, was about aging. And, age don't think about it as a year that you were born. It's more of a physiologic number. Not all 65-year-old people are the same. There are some that function at 45, and there's some that function at 85. And I'll have patients come into my office who are 60, 65 years old, and they're smokers, and they don't understand that in the next 5 years, if they are alive, they're not going to be the same person because they're about to fall off the cliff of aging. They're about to be a 62-year-old person who can walk around the block, go up a flight of stairs. But if they don't change, and they don't, I often say almost find religion in health, And I mean turn health into a religion. They're going to age. They're going to turn from 62 to 92.
It doesn't hurt to have religion as a faith either.
It does not. It does not. It does not. But they have to embrace it that way because it's so serious for them. And if they don't, the outcomes are devastating. They could lose a leg. They could have a stroke. They're not going to be the same person in 5 years unless they change. And some of this is also true for cholesterol and blood pressure. When their blood pressure is out of control, they'll come in and they seem healthy. They seem like they could, they could function well, and they're not really restricted. But unless things change, and unless you can convince them the gravity, they're going to go from like being a healthier 60-something-year-old patient or person into somebody that's functionally 90.
We're out of time, but we're going to see you April 12th with a panel discussion, talk with a doc up at Evangelical Community Hospital with Dr. Todd Steffen, who's here today. Thank you so much for coming in. Much appreciated.
And thank you.
And Ben Kaiser and Rachel Carr are going to be at that panel discussion. We thank Deanna Hollenbach, super producer for the show, and of course, Mr. Rob Center, the fabulous producer of all time.